endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Several weeks ago, I made the statement that the Matthew 24 series would end and that I'd begin a new series. And my intention was to begin a series on why we should not be using the word church. And I will, Lord willing, and I absolutely believe that He is willing, that I will be providing you some information on the history of the word, its origins. And I'll show you that using the word today is one of the greatest hindrances to advancing the kingdom of God. And it's one of the major reasons why the kingdom of God, for the most part, is hidden from the people today. So if any of you would like to go ahead and join me and stop using that word today, well, I'm quite certain that our Father in heaven would appreciate it. And if you believe that it is His will, that His will be done in heaven and in earth, and that means right now, then I'm telling you that it is His kingdom that should be preached, not a, quote, church. Because when you understand what the two are, you'll see they're as far apart as night and day, right and wrong, left and right. And as I've explained before, the purpose of teaching fulfilled Bible prophecy in that all, and again, I mean all, A-L-L, all Bible prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus, in Yeshua. He fulfilled them all. There is nothing in the writings of Moses, in the writings of David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of them, there's nothing in those writings that Jesus of Nazareth, the man who walked on this earth, whether you know him by the name Jesus or by the name Yeshua, his generation fulfilled every single prophecy that had been written prior to his revealing to the world. Now, I'm telling you again, if you do not believe that he fulfilled them all, if you believe that there are yet to be fulfilled Bible prophecies from Moses or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or from John's book of Revelation, then Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah. To be biblically correct, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that the Jesus, Yeshua, that we have read about all our entire lives, you cannot say that he was the Messiah and then say that the prophecies are yet to be fulfilled. 3 weeks ago, I played a short clip from a Jewish rabbi whose mission it is to make sure that the modern Jew does not fall into deception by accepting, as he said, Jesus. And then if a Jew has accepted Jesus, he has a rescue ministry to help them come out of this deception. And the deception that Jesus, the Jesus of the English Bible, that this Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah. Now, this rabbi stated it as clearly as I've ever stated in all these messages, that Jesus was not the Messiah because he did not fulfill the prophecies. That's what the rabbi said. Now, at this time, I'm going to play his message again. I played it a couple weeks ago, but I've actually had some people ask me if I'd play it again so that they could be reminded of what he said. Now, if you're hearing a replay of this message, I'd ask you to rewind it, listen to this rabbi as many times as you need to hear his message loud and clear. Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah because he did not fulfill the prophecies. Now, listen closely, please.
My name is Rabbi Tovia. I'm the director of an organization called Outreach Judaism. I've devoted my life to helping Jews who've converted to Christianity return back to the Jewish faith. Evangelical Christians are targeting Jews worldwide, spending hundreds of millions of dollars to bring you and those that you love to the church. They claim that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, the belief in the Messiah is uniquely Jewish and is a fundamental principle of the Jewish faith. They claim that Jesus somehow fulfilled these prophecies, but really, what does the Jewish scripture say about the Messiah? Why doesn't Judaism accept this Christian claim? It's a fantastic claim, and it lacks evidence. Tanakh tells us, our Hebrew Bible tells us, that there are certain events that will unfold in the Messianic age. When Mashiach comes, there'll be an ingathering of the exiles. That's Ezekiel chapter 37. The knowledge of God will cover the world as the water covers the sea. That's Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9 and verse 10. There'll be a resurrection of the dead. That's Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. The temple, the third and final temple, will be rebuilt. If you look today at the Temple Mount, you'll see there a couple of Islamic shrines, and it's laying in destruction, waiting for the redemption. But Ezekiel chapter 37, all the way through 47, describes the third temple that will be there forevermore. So we have all these messianic prophecies telling us what the Mashiach is supposed to do. And now we ask the question, there have been hundreds of people throughout history, maybe thousands, who've claimed to be the Messiah, Jesus included. What do they all have in common? They didn't fulfill a single one of these prophecies. There was no building of the temple during the first century. In fact, it was destroyed. There was no ingathering the exiles during the first century. The Jews were exiled. There was no resurrection of the dead. The Jews were murdered by the Romans in the ongoing wars. There was no worldwide knowledge of God during the first century because as a result of these wars with Rome and the destruction, the havoc of the destruction of the Second Commonwealth, the knowledge of God and the observance of mitzvot were diminished. What's the key? The key is know your own Tanakh, know your own scriptures. If you can look at the great passages of Ezekiel and Isaiah that tell us exactly what will occur, the lamb will lie with the lion. There'll be a worldwide peace when the Messiah comes. La yisagoy al goy cherev, nation will not lift up sword against nation. Isaiah chapter 2. Are we living in a time when there is peace? No. We are living in a great time, however, where we're observing the events that are bringing us to this great redemption happening before our eyes. Know your scriptures, understand your own faith, and no missionary will be able to rob you of a relationship with God. Thanks for joining me.
Now, let me make some very important comments here before we go to the scripture. He's talking about churchianity here. And he, like most in the world today, don't know what real Christianity is. When he says that churchianity says that Jesus fulfilled prophecies, he's in no wise saying that churchianity teaches that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies, like what I've been preaching for all these many years. See, churchianity says that Jesus or Yeshua fulfilled some of the prophecies, and then when he comes again, he will fulfill all the rest of them. Well, this is the major objection to what Tobias Singer, the rabbi, is pointing out. And in that regard, listen to me. Singer is 100% correct. If Jesus, if Yeshua, did not fulfill the specific prophecies that Singer points out, then he was not the Messiah. But I'm here to tell you that he did fulfill not just the four prophecies that Singer directly refers to, but he fulfilled them all. When I told you last week about the yeah buts that I've heard for so many years when discussing fulfilled Bible prophecy, this is what I mean. Churchianity is teaching the Jews' religion. Singer says, there are certain events that must take place, quote, in the Messianic age. All right. Just like I've said to you now many, many times, if you do not believe that the end of the world has already taken place, then Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah. The rabbi is saying certain events were to take place in the Messianic age. And because he says those events were not fulfilled in the first century, then the Messianic age is still future. If the Messianic age is future, Jesus was not the Messiah. Now, I ask you again, is this the conclusion you want in your life today? The rabbi is right. Listen to me. If the end of the world has not taken place, then the Messiah is yet to come. You can't say that Jesus was the Messiah and is a coming Messiah. You can't have it both ways. This is why I've said to you, Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah. He finished 100%, totally, completely, the work of the Messiah. He is no longer the Messiah. The nameplate on the office of Messiah has been replaced with King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Messianic age is over. It is not future. And if you believe that it is, you are preaching the Jews' religion. Now, Singer is claiming that the Messiah was to be exclusively Jewish. He's saying the Messiah prophesied in the law and the prophets belongs exclusively to them, and you can't have it. That's what he's saying. Now, knowing this to be the case, as you read through the New Testament again with this understanding, you'll begin to see why the Jews of that day did not accept him as the Messiah. It's the same reason why they don't accept him today. But in last week's message, we covered Isaiah chapter 11, and I believe we covered it really well. I showed you how Christ, I mean Jesus, at this point in my message, I did not mean to say Christ, okay? I mean Jesus, Yeshua. The reason I corrected myself is because I'm trying to get you to see that Jesus, Yeshua, the one who came here over 2,000 years ago, he was the Christ. I showed you what Jesus had to say about the temple. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. The unrepentant, hard-hearted, blind Jews were taking his words as being terroristic threats of bombing the temple that was in existence that day and couldn't see that the rebuilt temple he was talking about was him. He was the temple that fulfilled Isaiah chapter 11. He was the stem of the root of Jesse. He was the rod. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15 made it very clear that the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 11 was fulfilled in Jesus, in Yeshua. Yeah, but, as the rabbi said, what about Ezekiel chapter 37? Well, all right, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. Now, however, this work is going to be some of the most fun times you've ever had. It certainly is fun for me. It is fun for me to dig into the scripture and see fulfilled Bible prophecy and see that it was fulfilled in that first century. Seeing Ezekiel 37 fulfilled in the first century in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is just simply going to be fun. Very enjoyable and fulfilling seeing this right before our eyes. Now, since the rabbi brought it up, let's go right to it. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse number 1. The hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. All right. Now, just yesterday, my wife was asking me, well, how do we know what is literal and what is symbolic? Well, here's an excellent example. He carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh. Okay, come on now. Let's not make this harder than it is. This is a vision. This is a dream. This is a prophecy. This is not literal. He didn't take him out and set him down in the middle of a valley that was full of bones. All right. This is a prophecy. And we're learning principles here, all right? This is also going to help us determine the times in which Christ came. All right, after all, it's the principles that we learn from the scriptures is what is most important. From the stories of the Bible, whether literal or allegorical, we find the will of God for his creation, and finding the will of God, how he wants us to live, that's what is the most important. What things we do that please him, and what things that are done that displease him, that is finding the will of God. Thy will be done in heaven and in earth. Verse 2, Ezekiel chapter 37. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now, as you read prophecies like this one, I would hope that things that you've read from the scriptures would come into your mind. And again, let me remind you of something I said last week. If we refuse to understand the words of Christ, Jesus, Yeshua, that the days in which he was living, he said, these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. If we're operating under any other method of understanding, we're going to miss it. And we'll fail to identify the Messiah, when he came, what he did, who he was, and we'll eventually dissolve ourselves into preaching the Jews' religion. All right, keep your finger here in Ezekiel chapter 37 and turn to John chapter 20. Now, I meant to suggest at the outset of this message that if you've not already been doing so, jot down the Bible references so that you can go back and look again. My wife reminded me last Sunday that sometimes I get so excited about what I'm seeing in the Word that I start going really fast, and maybe people just start keeping up with me. So as I'm going to try to slow it down a little, but maybe if you wrote these verses down as we go, then you go back and look and make sure what I'm telling you is so. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Now, this is after Jesus, who was and is Christ, had risen from the dead. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Keep in mind what we just read in Ezekiel 37. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Hey, that's a reference to you and me right there. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And again, I'll remind you, Ezekiel chapter 37, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I'm telling you today that it was the breath of Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Christ, that fulfilled Ezekiel 37:5. Listen to Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Valley of dry bones. And then here you have Christ breathing life into those who accepted him, and he gave them everlasting life through his name. Back to Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. All right, now go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 29 and 30. And for sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and start reading, but just write that down, remember where it was, and go back to it if you need to. Ephesians 5, 29 through 30. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the Ecclesia. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, you might say, well, that's a little generic text to bring out as a proof text for Ezekiel chapter 37. So just hang on. Just put that one off in the corner for just a minute, and let's keep going, all right? Back to Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Now, I'm hoping now that the phrase, the four winds, makes your ears perk up a little. It's in reference to the first century, Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Back to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 10. Keeping in mind his body, his flesh, his bones, gathering together his elect from the four winds. All of this nearly word for word, comparing Ezekiel chapter 37 and the New Testament. Now, verse 10 of Ezekiel chapter 37. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. All right, now go back to Ephesians chapter 5, where we put those couple verses on over there on the shelf. Take them back off. Let's look at them again, but let's go on to Ephesians chapter 6, all right? Remembering that the chapter headings in our Bibles were added later. That's not part of the text. That's not part of the inspired word of God. So chapter 6 is a continuation of chapter 5, all right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. All the while remembering who this was written to. Okay, the book of Ephesians was written over 2,000 years ago to a specific people at a specific time, all right? Principles remain today, all right? Principles remain, but we have to remember time and place, who the words were written to, all right? Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now I ask you, is that not language describing the outfitting of an army? Well, absolutely it is. This is, again, it's Ezekiel chapter 37 being fulfilled in the first century. Let's keep going in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. All right, now, let's look at this again. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 50. And this is the crucifixion of Jesus. This is Yeshua. Now, I'm not specifically at this point referring to him as Christ. I'm speaking specifically as to Jesus, the one who walked among men over 2,000 years ago in the first century. I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, Ezekiel 37:12. Now, Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Ezekiel 37 and verse 13. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, the hair on my head is standing straight up right now as I compare Ezekiel chapter 37 with the crucifixion of Christ. And I hope you see it. I see it just as clear as I think it can be seen. The comparison there at what is taking place at the crucifixion of Christ and what was prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 37. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh. The centurion, when he saw these things, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Ezekiel 37:14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, Yahweh, have spoken it and performed it, saith Yahweh. All right, now at this point, let's agree for sake of argument that I'm stretching this all out. Let's say at the crucifixion of Jesus, the graves were open, there was an earthquake. One of the soldiers said, Truly, this was the Son of God. But let's just say that I'm stretching this to fit Ezekiel 37. All right, so let's continue. Let's look for more evidence. Let's insert a yeah, but right here, because you know he talked about land and, you know, those promises of land and things of that. So let's just say I'm stretching this, that the crucifixion of Christ here was fulfilling Ezekiel chapter 37. So let's go back to 37 and let's pick up at verse 15 and see if there's any more evidence here of finding fulfillment in Christ. Verse 15, the word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand, and the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. All right. So at the time of the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37, the mystery of the two sticks, which it's been called in the past, which I honestly don't know how it can be called a mystery. He's plainly saying that God is going to make his people one kingdom again. And when the Messiah comes, he'll bring his people back together into one kingdom. Verse 19 again, saying to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. Look with me, please, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Hear the words of Jesus. Hear the words of Yeshua. Please remember that for today, I'm purposely not calling him Christ. I'm purposely not calling him Lord. The Jewish rabbi has told us that Jesus, Yeshua, is not Christ. He is not Lord. He is not Messiah. He is not King. He's not the one that fulfilled the prophets. Specifically because the rabbi said, Jesus, Yeshua, did not fulfill Ezekiel 37. And I'm trying with everything I have within me to tell you that if you do not believe that Jesus was the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37 over 2,000 years ago, then Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah. Couldn't have been, just like the rabbi said. But I'm telling you today that this Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a tree, hath God, Almighty God, Yahweh, he hath made him both Savior and Christ. He is the Christ. He was the Messiah. And now he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And not only is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is the last of the kings that God allows for his people and for his creation. And it is the responsibility of every living, breathing creature to conform to his kingship and his kingship alone right now. And it is so because Yeshua fulfilled all the prophecies. And contrary to what the rabbi thinks, Jesus, Yeshua, fulfilled Ezekiel 37. Lest we forget, we're finding the fulfillment of the kingdom being made once again from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 19, in John chapter 10. All right, verse 1, John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now listen to the words of Christ. Listen to the words of Jesus. Very difficult for me to separate Jesus from his title, from his kingship. Even though I've told you today, I've tried really hard because I'm trying to make a point here. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This is Jesus. This is Yeshua. These words were spoken over 2,000 years ago. Was he the good shepherd? Did he do what he said he came to do? I'm telling you today that if this Jesus, this Yeshua, is who you believe to be Christ, then you should be able to see the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37 right here in John chapter 10. He said as clearly as he could have said it, I am the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And my purpose here is that I've got other sheep that are not of this fold, and them I'm going to bring, that they're going to hear my voice too. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This is the one stick that Ezekiel chapter 37 is talking about. Verse 17 of John chapter 10. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Yeah, there was a division, all right, just like there's a division today. And the division is because some believed that he was who Moses in the law and the prophets did right. And some refused to believe that he was the Christ, the King of Israel. Verse 20, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou makest to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Friends, here it is. Is he Christ or not? Is Jesus the Christ? Is Yeshua the Christ? We know absolutely, positively, beyond any shadow of a doubt, because this Jesus, this Yeshua, was the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 is not a future fulfillment like the rabbi says. And if you insist on saying that it is, by the rabbi's own words, you're preaching the Jews' religion. You can't have it both ways. John 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I'm telling you, in his own words, this shepherd, this good shepherd, this Jesus, this Yeshua said that he was making all the sheep into one fold. He was fulfilling Ezekiel chapter 37. Was he the good shepherd? Did he do what he said he would do? Did he make the sheep one fold? Well, the rabbi doesn't believe that. The rabbi offers a, yeah, but, well, is this what you're going to do? Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What did Ezekiel 37:19 say? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. Watch. And they shall be one in mine hand. In his own words, he's saying, I am the good shepherd, and I am here to fulfill Ezekiel chapter 37. How could he do this? Because he fulfilled Ezekiel 37. He breathed life into those dry bones. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. He had finally made it very clear to these people that, yes, he was the Christ, he was the fulfillment of the prophecies, and in particular today, for today's message, Ezekiel 37, verse number 34 of John chapter 10, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Now let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Once again, it's a continuation of, verse 19 is where we talked about them being one and being in the Father's hand, and then the two sticks becoming one. Okay. Now, I ask you today, who is this king that makes them one nation? Is it the Good Shepherd? Is it Jesus, Yeshua? Or is it a Messiah yet to come? Is it a Jewish Messiah that Rabbi Tobias Singer is looking for? Well, yeah, but. Well, see, aren't these literal land promises? Well, those didn't happen. Well, and I know we haven't already forgotten Joshua 21:43-45, where we just read it last week. Yahweh does not owe any land promises to Israel. He kept his word. They possessed the land. There failed not aught of any good thing that Yahweh spoke to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Verse 23 of Ezekiel 37. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Several weeks ago, while we were discussing Revelation chapter 20, we dealt with this exact same language. They've sinned, I'll cleanse them, they'll be my people, and I'll be their God. We've dealt with this. We've seen this language before. This is the new covenant. This is Hebrews chapter 8, almost word for word. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. So we've got to get off of this thing of the land promises. He just said that he was making a covenant, and it wasn't the same kind of covenant that he made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they've continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. I simply don't know how this can be any clearer. Ezekiel 37:23 is almost word for word Hebrews chapter 8. And the writer of Hebrews 8 is explaining the new covenant. I'm trying to get you to see that if you don't believe that Ezekiel 37 has been fulfilled, you're not living in the new covenant. You're still practicing the Jews' religion. As painful as that may be to hear, it's the truth. And I can't sugarcoat it. I can't make it easy to swallow. Futurism has sold us a bill of goods that is damnable heresy. And it causes us to deny the Messiah who came and look for another who is an imposter. The ultimate purpose of the Messiah was to become the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, and King. And sadly today, we've not followed the King because we're still looking for a Messiah. We haven't even advanced past the Messiah stage, which makes us so far from the kingdom. It's no wonder. It's easy to see why we're in the shape we're in today. We haven't even come out of the Messianic age. And it's the kingdom age that's the hope of Israel. It's the kingdom age is where we should be walking and striving and looking for today. Back to Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 24. I'm going to let you get back there because this is very, very important. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Do you not see the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37 in Jesus, in Yeshua? And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. You simply can't get any clearer than the words of Christ from John chapter 10. I am the shepherd. I am the one. It's as clear as anything ever was in the scripture. Christ, Jesus, Yeshua, the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37, verse 24. We've talked about this over and over. Jesus was the Christ. Jesus, Yeshua, fulfilled the Davidic covenant, which was the promise that God would raise up Christ. It doesn't say raise up Jesus, okay? It says the promise was to raise up Christ to sit on David's throne. And Acts chapter 2 tells us as plainly as anything in the Bible can be said that Jesus Yeshua, by his resurrection from the dead, he fulfilled the promise to David that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And this Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a tree, this Jesus, this Yeshua, God hath made him Christ. He is King. He is Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Keeping solidly in remembrance now what we just read from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. All right, now, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh my goodness, friends. If we can't see Ezekiel 37:24 announced right here, prior to the birth of Jesus, prior to the birth of Yeshua, I don't know what else to do or say. How can these things be any clearer? But I need to remind you that the rabbi said that Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah because he did not fulfill Ezekiel 37. Friends, if you say that Jesus, that Yeshua, did not fulfill Ezekiel 37, you are preaching the Jews' religion. Verse 25 of Ezekiel chapter 37. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Who was this servant David? The scriptures can't be any clearer. Yeah, but it talks about land. It talks about David. Well, I'm telling you that the scriptures say very clearly that this Jesus, this Yeshua, was the servant David of Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 26 of Ezekiel 37. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. I challenge anyone listening to my voice to read Ezekiel 37 and find thousands of years in here between fulfillments of the several prophecies that are here in this chapter, and to try and sit here and say that these prophecies in Ezekiel chapter 37 were not fulfilled in Christ, but they require a fulfillment thousands and thousands of years after Christ came here. You can't do it. Some say, he fulfilled some of them. He just didn't fulfill all of them. Yeah, but, well, the rabbi said the Messiah would fulfill all of them. And to that, I 100%, totally, absolutely, whatever hyperbole you want to throw in there, I'm total agreement with the rabbi. The Messiah is required to fulfill them all. And I'm telling you today that Jesus said to his disciples over 2,000 years ago, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. These be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. All things that were written were fulfilled in the first century, beginning with John the Baptist, followed through by the first advent of Christ, continued through the apostles, then culminating with the second advent of Christ, where he was revealed to the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he came at the end of the Old Covenant world at AD 70, when the temple was destroyed, in perfect fulfillment of his own words. This generation, this people, this nation, this time period that the people who he was sent to in the first century, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. In our study of Revelation chapter 20, we dealt extensively with Revelation chapter 21, proving conclusively that the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem are all language and terms referencing the new covenant. Once again, as he did earlier in the chapter, he concludes Ezekiel 37 with the ultimate prize, the new covenant, kingdom, age of Christ. And almost word for word, Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 3, reinforces Ezekiel chapter 37. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Again, I say, if the end of the world has not already occurred, if the heavens and the earth have not passed away, if there is still a place for a physical temple, a physical Jerusalem, if the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem from above, has not replaced the Jerusalem below, then the Messiah has not come. If the prophecies have not been fulfilled, then we're still in the old covenant world. You can't have it both ways. The rabbi could not be any clearer in his mission. His mission is to keep Jews from falling for Jesus. His mission is to bring Jews who have fallen for Jesus, to bring them back to Judaism. His argument is that Jesus was not the Messiah because he did not fulfill Ezekiel 37. Well, I believe I've shown conclusively from the scriptures that Ezekiel 37 finds its fulfillment in Jesus, in Yeshua. All of Ezekiel 37 is found in Jesus, in Yeshua, because he was the Messiah and he is the King. He's not a coming King. He's not coming here again. He's done all that was promised. He kept his Father's word. He gave us a kingdom that cannot be moved. Now, let us serve his kingdom. Let us obey him and let us reveal his will on earth as it is in heaven. In conclusion today, I'd like to backtrack just a little bit on something that I wish I would have brought out last week in Isaiah chapter 11. But I just recently discovered this. I'm glad I found it, but I'm actually a little bit embarrassed that it took this long. But it's very interesting, and I want to share it with you in conclusion today. Now, I've never spent a lot of time in the books of the Apocrypha. I haven't done so mainly because I felt they were very Catholic. Well, I believe they're still in the Catholic Bible, but since the original King James Bible, which had them, they've not been in many English Bibles since that time. But in my own studies, I'm going to go back and I'm going to revisit my thoughts on the Apocrypha to make sure that my conclusions are based on my own study and not those of others who may have had some influence on me in the past. But anyway, I was reading from what is called The Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach. And when you read this book, it reminds me of reading Ecclesiastes or the Song of Solomon, and maybe even some of Proverbs. But in this book, I found myself reading from chapter 11. And I'm going to just read this to you beginning in verse 1 through verse 17. When I get to verse 17, I'm simply just going to read it again and then I'm going to close today's message, because it's just very, very interesting in relation to Isaiah chapter 11 when it talks about the wolf and the lamb together. Verse 1, this is from the Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach, written over 100 years before Yeshua was born. He that toucheth pitch shall be defiled therewith, and he that hath fellowship with a proud man shall be like unto him. Burden not thyself above thy power while thou livest, and have no fellowship with one that is mightier and richer than thyself. For how agree the kettle and the earthen pot together? For if the one be smitten against the other, it shall be broken. The rich man hath done wrong, and yet he threateneth withal. The poor is wronged, and he must entreat also. If thou be for his profit, he will use thee, but if thou have nothing, he will forsake thee. If thou have anything, he will live with thee, yea, he will make thee bare, and will not be sorry for it. If he have need of thee, he will deceive thee, and smile upon thee, and put thee in hope. He will speak thee fair, and say, What wantest thou? And he will shame thee by his meats, until he have drawn thee dry twice or thrice, and at the last he will laugh thee to scorn afterward when he seeth thee. He will forsake thee, and shake his head at thee. Behold, that thou be not deceived, and brought down in thy jollity. If thou be invited of a mighty man, withdraw thyself, and so much the more he will invite thee. Press thou not upon him, lest thou be put back. Stand not far off, lest thou be forgotten. Affect not to be made equal unto him in talk, and believe not his many words. For with much communication he will tempt thee, and smiling upon thee will get out thy secrets. But cruelly he will lay up thy words, and will not spare to do thee hurt, and put thee to prison. Observe and take good heed, for thou walkest in peril of thy overthrowing. When thou hearest these things, awake in thy sleep. Love the Lord all thy life, and call upon him for thy salvation. Every beast loveth his like, and every man loveth his neighbor. All flesh consorteth according to kind, and a man will cleave to his like. What fellowship hath the wolf with the lamb? So the sinner with the godly. Listen again to verse 17. What fellowship hath the wolf with the lamb? And the answer is, so the sinner with the godly. He's speaking allegory here. As with everything else he was trying to describe in the first 16 verses, he says, the wolf and the lamb. And he says what that means is it's the sinner with the godly. Once again, causing the wolf to lie with the lamb is symbolic language for the power of Christ, which can cause the sinful wolf to be transformed into a lamb.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.